so appreciative. I just feel like the Lord's being magnified in the house. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. What a Savior. What a glorious Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. 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 If you turn in your Bibles to Mark chapter 1, I'm not going to go over the announcements this morning. There's many things happening this week. Please get a bulletin. Stay abreast of that or look on the wall after service. I do want to encourage, come early. Come early and pray. Fill the prayer room up. Let's believe the Lord. We will have newcomers class tonight at 6, but come early to pray. Let's believe God to have his way. There's nothing as strengthening and joyous as the presence of the Lord. Nothing. So often his presence is made known to us through his word. Amen. Just recently we started this series, The Jesus Response. How did Jesus respond to human need? I don't want you to think this is just something he's done in the past, because he's doing it this morning in this service. Jesus is responding to human need. Amen. Could you stand for the reading of God's word? Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Here's the response. And Jesus, moved with compassion. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, that gentle Savior's in the house. Hallelujah. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand. Here it is. And touched. And touched him. Hallelujah. And he said to him, I will. Be thou clean. And as soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him, and he was cleansed. And he straightway charged him forthwith and sent him away, and saith unto him, see that thou say nothing to any man, but go thy way and show thyself to the priest, and offer for thy cleansing those things which Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. But he went out and began to publish it much, and to blaze abroad the matter, insomuch that Jesus could no more openly enter into the city, but was without in desert places. Listen, and they came to him from every quarter. I want to preach this morning on the Jesus response. Jesus touches the untouchable. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus touches the untouchable. Father, thank you for your presence. Lord, thank you for what you're doing in this service, what you're accomplishing in hearts. Now, Lord, in your word, in preparation for this Lord's Supper, your supper, Lord, may you get a hold of life. Save somebody, Lord, even where they're sitting in the pew. God, deliver somebody from sin. Lord, let them know that you're the Christ that touches the untouchable and never, ever leaves that individual the same. Hallelujah. Oh, let's praise him one more time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus touches the untouchable. Hallelujah. Oh, if you wish, you can be seated this morning. Let's continue to have this growing sense of God's presence as we move through the message and into the communion service. I have watched at Sidewalk Sunday School. I watched it this year at the opening out there on the tarps, and it was all appropriate. But I watched as one of our adult workers gave a hug to a dirty, literally snot-nosed, smelling little child out there. And my temperament being what it is, I asked myself the question, how can they do that? How can they do that? Well, the answer's easy. They have a love that is greater than the child's smell or the child's snotty nose. They have a love that's greater than the snotty nose. But I want to tell you this morning, Jesus has a love that is greater than our smell. It's greater than our dirt. Amen. Amen. Not just that. He also has a power that's greater than our condition. He's got a power that's greater than our problem. Oh, hallelujah. Aren't you glad for it this morning? Amen. Don't you know that there are people that because of their sin, because of their problems, because of their conditions, these people have become untouchables. And before we get too caught up on people being untouchable, I want us to consider something. Did you know that in every one of our lives, there are untouchable areas? There are areas of dark sin. There are things like anger and bitterness and thoughts that we shouldn't have against another. There are things like hatred. There are depressions and struggles and mental anguish. There are places in our heart we don't go there. That's an untouchable area. But I'm going to preach this morning, not only does Jesus touch the untouchable people, Jesus touches the untouchable hidden corners of our heart. Hallelujah. And he does it because he loves us. And it's not just that he loves us, he has the power to change the condition. Oh, hallelujah. How many's glad Jesus touches the untouchable? Oh, hallelujah. I'm trying to preach this morning from the text something that ought to cause us to just shout and shout and shout. I could put it this simply. Jesus touched the leper. Jesus touched the leper. I said, Jesus touched the leper. He touched the untouchable, and the man was never more the same. You would have said it that day. You might even say it this morning. Listen, you just don't touch a leper. You just don't do that. No, no, that's not something you want to do. You may be saying you just don't do it, but the fact is, Jesus did. You know what I conclude from that? With Jesus, there are no untouchables. I said, with Jesus, there are no people, there are no problems, there are no situations that are untouchable. Jesus touched the leper. Oh, let's just pause and praise him. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Lord. As we've been doing, let's look at the human need. In verse 4, it said a leper. That says it all. A leper came to him. Luke, the physician, in his account, said he was full of leprosy. This was not a mild case. He was full of leprosy. Leprosy, we're not real acquainted with it today. But if you've been thinking about getting an armadillo for a pet, don't do it. Because an armadillo is one of the few animals that can carry leprosy. And leprosy is no laughing matter. It's an awful thing. Even in our day, though we don't hear as much about it, there are over 3 million lepers in our world. It's an awful condition. And the thing about leprosy is it knows no geographical boundaries. It knows no social economic boundaries. It knows no state boundaries. It knows no occupational boundaries. People of every strata of society get leprosy. Leprosy can either affect the nerves, or leprosy can affect the skin and the appendages of the body. In either situation, leprosy is an awful thing. And here's the sad thing about leprosy. People can have it for years and years before it manifests itself. Did you know there's folks hearing me preach this morning? You've already got the leprosy at work in your heart and your mind. It just hasn't yet manifested itself. And when it does, it's going to be a horrible thing. We could talk about the ravages of that disease. But as you can see in the picture, and there are far worse pictures than these of leprosy, though this is enough. But what happens, one of the first things is a disease attacks the digits of the body, and the fingers and the toes begin to fall off. You see, even with modern medicine, even modern drugs cannot arrest this disease. They can maybe slow it down and arrest it a bit, but they, even if they do that, modern medicine cannot replace the damage. After the digits fall off, the person's eyes are attacked and they become blind. Oh, what an awful disease. This leprosy. Amen. Medicine can't regrow a nose. Medicine can't replace fingers. Medicine cannot restore the blindness caused by the leprosy. Oh, what an awful disease. The people that found themselves with this disease are called lepers. And I could at length discuss that. I'll do it in brief. But the number one thing about a leper is you're severed from the community. You're put out of the house. You're separated from the village. Amen. You had to wear signs. Just like somebody had died, you wore signs of mourning to say somebody had died. And the somebody that had died was you. You were dead to your family. You were dead to going into the presence of God. You were dead to society. It was just, even though you were breathing, it was like you were dead. You wore these clothes. You uncovered your head and covered your lip. And you cried out anytime anybody got anywhere near. You cried out, unclean, unclean, unclean. I can't make it any worse than it is. It's far worse than I can begin to describe. But I want to tell you in brief about this leprosy. In the Bible, though you may not have committed a particular sin, in the Bible, leprosy is a type of sin. Leprosy is a type of uncleanness and iniquity. Preachers long ago used to preach about the stinking sinner. They were being derogatory of the sinner. They were talking about the awfulness of sin in a person's life. Amen. If leprosy is a type of sin, then far more than 3 million people have leprosy. And oh, I gotta be brief this morning. But in brief, leprosy is an awful thing. And the two points that need to be made out of it, it's always advancing. It's always destroying. It's always ravaging. It takes your skin, your digits, your ears, your nose, your eyes. I'm telling you, sin's that way. You can't contain it. You can't hold it back. It gets in, it'll advance. It'll grow. It'll spread. It'll destroy. It'll ruin. That's what it does to you physically and spiritually. But I'm telling you, leprosy was a divider. It was an alienator. It was a separator. It separated you from the temple. It separated you from your family and the village. Could I say that's why people are so lonely and lost and alienated? Sin has separated. Oh, what a human need. But the person with this need, he came and he fell on his face before Jesus, worshiping Jesus and begging Jesus to heal him. Oh, hallelujah. Do you see it there? He came to Jesus and said, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Oh, I'm telling you, this is one day the leper got confused. He knew he was supposed to shout unclean. And so he started out that day. Every time he saw a person, he'd go, unclean, unclean. Oh, but then he heard Jesus was coming to town and he started to get confused. He'd yell, unclean, but then he'd follow up with, help me. Jesus, help me. Unclean. Jesus, help me. Unclean. And pretty soon he forgot the unclean. And he was just saying, Jesus, help me. I'm telling you, there comes a time we need to forget about how awful our situation is and cry out to God to help us. Oh, how many believe he'd hear our cry this morning? What an awful disease. What a horrible disease. He says to Jesus, you can help me if you want to. It's right there. If you will, you can help me. You can make me clean. He had a faith that Jesus could help him. Did you know there's some folks even here with awful conditions? What they need to be told and what they need to realize is Jesus can help. Even the man realized that, Brother Mark. He said, if you will, I know you can. Some people need to know. We'll get to the I will in a minute. But some people need to know this morning, Jesus can. Jesus can forgive your sins. Jesus can give you a new life. Jesus can take away the depression and give you a joy of heart. Oh, hallelujah. Jesus can bring reconciliation. I'm telling you, church, we need to realize Jesus can. I know they look like impossible situations. I just told you medicine can't cure leprosy. And there's a lot of things folks can have. And we look at it and we know it's incurable as far as the plane of humanity. But I'm telling you, what man can't cure, God can. Hallelujah. Oh, how many's hearing me this morning? I said, we need to have even what this leper had, this attitude. You can, Lord. Oh, it makes a difference. You came into the house saying, nobody can help me. I can't even help myself. Nothing can be done. Oh, it's time to change the tune and say, Jesus, you can. You can do it. You can make a difference. You can save. You can heal. You can deliver. That's the human need. Let's look at the probable and usual response. I want you to imagine with me, we know that right now we have a plague on the loose in our world, Ebola. And Brother Heath could tell us more about it because many of the men he knows in churches are affected by it in Africa. That's an awful disease. 60 to 90% of those that catch it, they die. And if you're wondering about that crowd's response to the leper that day, I want you to imagine with me if I got up and announced, and I'm not talking about the color of skin, I'm talking about his home. But if I said, folks, and I pointed to a black man near the back, and I said, he just came from Sierra Leone, and he just discovered he has Ebola. What would be our response? You thought about that? And I'm not talking about being stupid this morning. I'm just giving you an illustration. What would be our response? I guarantee you, those that were sitting close to him would immediately go. Isn't that right? If I said, bow your heads and pray, it'd be like I described last week. No, I've got more faith than a lot of you, but I'm just telling you. You get the picture. That was the response of the people that day to the man with leprosy. That was their reaction. In fact, if you saw somebody walk up to someone with Ebola and shake their hand, you'd think one or two things. They're stupid or they got the power of God. You know what you'd think? I want to tell you, you can hear about, see the fever of Ebola, you can see leprosy, but folks got, in a spiritual sense, they got far worse problems and needs going on in the inside. What's going to be our response? I think people that day naturally and reflexively were repulsed by the sight of the leper. How many be real honest when you saw the picture, the slide of the leprosy? It was repulsive. It was. People that day were repulsed. They didn't want to get anywhere near him. They didn't want him anywhere near them. They wanted there to be a distance. And you know, here's the thing. As bad as it was, there was kind of a good thing about the leprosy in the man. You can't say, how can that be? How could there be a good thing? Because the people didn't want to be near him. They begin to clear out as he approached Jesus. The people moved away and cleared an opening all around Jesus because they didn't want to be around the leper. Kind of worked out a good thing because the lady with the issue of the blood, she had to try to press her way through the crowd. The leper didn't have to push his way through the crowd. They made way for him. Hallelujah. They're so repulsed by the leprosy. No doubt several said to him, go away. In fact, don't you think some that day said, what are you doing here? Why did you come? No doubt several shivered with the fear of catching what the man had. No doubt several put their children behind them or started home with their children. I want you to know, we can't in a physical sense, we can't fault these people. But in a spiritual sense, people walk in with all kinds of needs and trouble. And to the spiritual need, may we never respond with, what are you doing here? How come you came? May there never be somebody that were reluctant to shake their hand and welcome. I mean, it shouldn't be that if someone comes in with obvious problems and sits down in a pew, it clears people out for two or three pews around. It shouldn't be that. It shouldn't be when people come with major problems, come to an altar and kneel because we know of the atrocity of their needs. It's people are reluctant to come and put their hand on their shoulders and to pray with them. And I'm not talking about being stupid. I don't have time to qualify everything. But there is a natural response to this awfulness of disease. And it just goes to show you again, there are untouchable people. There are untouchable needs. There are untouchable areas in our life. In fact, even now, if I begin to mention some things, somebody in their heart would say, "Preacher, don't go there. Don't talk about that. Don't deal with that topic. It ought not to be." I want to tell you, when folks have sin in their life, we don't run with them. We're commanded not to run with them. But though we don't run with them, we do not run from them when they come to the Master for help. Oh, in fact, we run to them to pray and to seek God for their deliverance. What is the response? Well, let's look at Jesus' response, verse 41. "And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched him." And I want to go in that in a moment, but I want to start at the end of the verse. Jesus said, "I will. Be thou clean." Brother Steve, the man said, "If you will, you can." And Jesus said, "I will." You know, this answers a lot of things to me. And I want us to think about, because really what the man was saying, you could if you would. A lot of people are stuck with God right there. And the unbelieving world is taught to use as an excuse for believing in God and Christ. They're stuck right there. If you could, or if you would, you could. And I tell you how that bears out. This is the way they're taught it. They say we Christians have a problem with God because he's either all-powerful or he's all-good, but he can't be both. And here's how they put it. They say, look around and see evil in the world. See suffering. Either God can do something about it, but he don't want to. Or he wants to do something about it, but he can't. But I'm telling you, from this story, we learn that he both can do something about it, and he will. It's not, you know, if you would, you could, or if you could, you would. We find this man discovered, it's both Jesus says, "I can and I will." How many believes Jesus has the power? How many believes Jesus wants to help? You say, why is there still evil? We're not going to deal with that this morning, except simply to say Jesus has already done something about evil. Did you know that? And when he gets through, every wrong will be righted. Every righteousness will be justified. All suffering of God's people will be. He has. If you doubt he's done anything about evil, just look at the cross. That's a testimony. Amen. We just have things on a different timetable than God does. But I want you to know the answer to this world is our God is both all-powerful and he's all-good. In other words, he can and he wants to and he will. That's what the leper found. Lord, if you will, you can. And Jesus said, oh, I will and I can. Be thou clean. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad for that this morning? Amen. And the Bible says, we go back to verse just for a moment. Jesus moved with compassion. I know it's a little close to lunch to paint this picture, but we don't think exactly like they did back then. We do. I'll have to convince you of it. But when it says Jesus was moved with compassion, Brother Rose, it literally says Jesus was moved in his bowel. You say, huh? Well, you see, we think of the heart being here. I'm talking about the heart of man, or here. But in their time, they thought of the heart, the place of love, the place of emotion, the place of sympathy. They thought of it as being right here in the bowels. That's the seat of it. Did you ever read in the Old Testament when the psalmist spoke of the tender mercies of God? That literally is the tender bowels. You know, you can be easily hurt if you're hit right here. That's the most sensitive part of the body. And God has tender mercies. He's easily moved. You say, that's weird for them to talk about compassion as moved in the bowels. Is it? Don't we still do that? How many's ever heard that was a gut-wrenching experience? See, we still do that. How many has said, I've got a gut feeling? See, we still do it. We just use a more sophisticated gut than bowel. Jesus was moved with compassion. Oh, something stirred in the heart of our Savior when he saw the man with the leprosy. He was moved. Hallelujah. I'm glad we serve a Savior like that. Sometimes we look at people with problems and needs and sin, and we're disgusted and we're put off. But I want to tell you, when Jesus sees somebody in need, he is stirred and moved with compassion. Oh, I'm glad I can tell you this morning in the words of Scripture, we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmity. I'm telling you, you've got a battle going on. He feels it. Even if you've got a problem, he's moved by it. Oh, thank God we don't serve a cruel me. I know he's holy. I know he's righteous. I know he demands in judgment, but he's also compassionate and merciful and gracious. He's of tender mercy. He shows his tender mercies to 1,000 generations. Oh, aren't you glad when he sees human need, his response is to be moved with compassion? I don't want to ever lose that. For some, situation only moved their emotions. But for Jesus, it went beyond moving his emotions. When he was moved with compassion, it moved him. Hallelujah. What a Savior that we serve. The need of the man moved Jesus' heart, and Jesus' heart moved Jesus' hand. I have felt that happen even this morning. Amen. God knows the struggles we have. He knows the needs in this place. And the heart of Jesus moved his hand. Oh, hallelujah. How many has felt his hand at work in the house? Oh, hallelujah. His heart, the man's need moved Jesus' heart. And Jesus' heart moved his hand. I have a question. What if Jesus wasn't willing to touch that leper and heal him? Then we would never know he's willing to help us. What if Jesus were not willing to forgive sin? What if Jesus were not willing to hear? What if Jesus were not willing to help? Oh, but I'm glad I can tell you the Jesus response is to be moved with a willingness to do something about our needs. Oh, hallelujah. I said hallelujah. This has got to be by a far better artist, and I'm not demeaning this artist, but this has got to be a picture in the gallery of heaven. Oh, because I believe that day, something that totally shocked those Jewish people with all their laws against lepers and all their laws of segregation of lepers and all their laws about the uncleanness of the Oh, Brother Joseph, that had to move that crowd that day. I can almost hear it starting at the front of the crowd, and the exclamations are growing louder and louder as it spreads in concentric circles further and further from Jesus and the leper out through the village and down through the road. You know what they heard? Jesus touched the leper. Jesus. Oh, can you hear their exclamation? Their astonishment. Gee, we wouldn't do it. The high priest wouldn't do it. The Levite wouldn't do it. Even his own family wouldn't do it. Oh, but it went through the crowd. Jesus touched the leper. Oh, Jesus touched the leper. Oh, but if we'd be honest, Brother Cruz, amen, we had the same feeling when we came down to an altar full of sin and ugliness and hate and bitterness, and he was moved with compassion, put his hand on. I believe every one of us got up and say, Jesus, touch the leper. Jesus, touch the leper. How many can lift a hand and praise and say, when Jesus came to me, he touched the leper? Oh, go ahead and praise him. Oh, thank God, the Lamb forever. He was not repulsed of the man's condition. He was not fearful of the disease. I'm going to move on to the closing in just a moment. But I want to remind us how the man came. The man came prostrating himself down before the man. Jesus, crying out for help. I want to tell you, Jesus has never failed to help somebody that came to him that way. You don't necessarily have to come, as one gospel writer put it, fall on your face this morning. But if you come in humility of heart, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to thy cross, you come saying, Lord, I can't even help myself. And you'll come kneeling down and crying out. Jesus will help you just like he did the leper without fail. Could I tell you one more time? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Didn't the leper learn that? Jesus, would you help me? What was the result of Jesus' response? Verse 42. As soon as he had spoken, immediately the leprosy departed from him. Jesus' touch was the compassion, but Jesus' word was the cure. Jesus told that leprosy to leave. He said, be clean, be healed. His touch was the compassion, but his word was the cure. It'll be the same with us. His touch is his compassion. But when you listen to what he speaks, his word will be the cure. Many people have stopped after the touch and not waited or listened for the word. Amen. His word was the cure. You know, this leprosy is an awful thing, but nothing can resist the love and power of Jesus. You know, see, I was thinking a lot about this. Not only did Jesus arrest the leprosy like modern medicine can do, but Jesus reversed the damage done. There is no doubt in my mind, Sister Rose, he was full of leprosy. Luke said, that man was missing digits. But when Jesus said, be clean, he regrew digits. Hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. I've been grieved in my heart of a photo of a man. And every time I look at it, the life has gone in the eyes. Sin has ravaged. But Jesus can only arrest that damage. He can put the joy and the light back in the eyes. Oh, hallelujah. I said, hallelujah. Oh, what a Savior. Somebody else say it. What a Savior. What a Savior. The result is the leprosy could not resist the love and the power of Jesus. I want to deal with this and then I'll be done. But you know, we're almost done. I don't want to lie to you. Hallelujah. There's a universal law that Jesus broke that day. What is the universal law? Did you know right now we mentioned Ebola, but did you know that several of those that have died were doctors and priests who went to minister for the sick? They didn't have Ebola when they went, but they contracted it from their patients. Because the law is the sick make the healthy sick. The healthy can't make, I'm not talking about treatment, I'm talking about catching it. The healthy can't make the sick healthy. If that was true, if we had somebody sick, we'd get somebody healthy and say, come breathe on them. Breathe some of that health into them. Isn't that the way? It don't work that way. It works the other way. We find out someone's sick and we tell them to put a mask on. We don't want them breathing on us. Because sick goes to health. Health don't go to sick. Second law of thermodynamics, heat goes to cold. Cold don't go to heat. It's a universal law. I mean, we could give a lot of examples this morning, but something dirty doesn't get something clean. I didn't say that right. Something clean doesn't get something dirty clean. Can you imagine having two dishes, one of them clean, the other dirty? And say, I'll just take the dirty one and put it underneath the clean one. And then when I remove the clean one, they'll both be clean. What would happen if you remove the clean one? It'd be dirty. Amen. You know, I don't want to bore you, but this is something even in Scripture. We could go on and on about corruption. But I'll just show you the Scriptures in the prophet Haggai. If one, this is a question posed by the prophet or God through the prophet, if one bear holy flesh in the skirt of his garment, and with his skirt do touch bread or pottage or wine or oil, shall it be holy? In other words, just because the garment is holy, does what it touch become holy? And the priest answered and said, no. Then said Haggai, if one that is unclean by a dead body touch any of these, shall it be unclean? And the priest answered and said, yes. If the unclean touches the clean, it becomes unclean, and not vice versa. That's the law. That's the way it works. But not in this case. That's why the people wouldn't touch a leper, because the leprosy goes to the healthy, not the health to the leper. But not in this case. Jesus set aside that law. He was the wonderful exception. That day, the leprosy at the touch, the leprosy didn't go to the healthy. The health went to the leprosy. Oh, hallelujah. I said it was the first time that the clean had touched the unclean, and the unclean not make the clean unclean. Don't lose me. It was the first time that when the clean touched the unclean, the unclean became the clean. And it's been happening ever since. We came to the Lord unclean, unclean. Oh, but when His cleanliness, when His holiness, when His purity was put upon our heart, when He touched us, the unclean was made clean. It reached us to the highest mountain. It flows to the deepest valley. Aren't you glad He's made you clean this morning? Oh, hallelujah. It only works with Him. Clean. Oh, I like the way it puts it. Verse 42. And he was cleansed. He was clean. I don't want to be too basic, but how many knows when you've been really dirty, it's a wonderful feeling after you've had that bath or shower. Isn't it good to be clean? Hallelujah. Oh, and I want you to know there's a cleanliness that is more thrilling yet. And that's a cleanliness of mind and soul and heart. When your mind's been dirty and your heart's been dirty and your soul's been dirty, but Jesus put His hand upon you and said, be clean. When your mind is clean and your heart, oh, isn't it a wonderful thing? I said, isn't it a wonderful thing to be cleansed by the blood? How many believes Jesus could do that this morning? Cleanse somebody's heart and mind, and they could leave here saying, I'm clean. I'm clean. Praise God. I'm clean. Verse 43, Jesus said, don't say anything about it. Verse 44, but go to the priest and do those things that Moses commanded. Just a brief note and we'll close. If Jesus has really healed you, there should be no hesitation of going to the doctor to verify it, because that's what Jesus did. He said, I've cleansed you, but go ahead, go to the priest so they can verify it. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when God does a work, it's final, it's complete, it's total, and you have no embarrassment. Amen. He does the work. Glory to God. And oh, I'm just going to briefly tell you what happened or would have happened had he went. The priest were to take two doves, slaughter one, catch the blood, get a rod, put hyssop upon it. Amen. Kill that bird, that first bird over running water, and then take its blood and dip that hyssop on the end of the rod in it. Sprinkle blood on the cleansed leper and release the second dove into its freedom. Oh, hallelujah. To say to the leper, you are clean and you are now free of the disease, and you're free to go back to community. You have been made clean. It wasn't the blood of a dove that tells me that this leper has been cleansed, but it is the blood of Jesus that has told me, hallelujah, I've been sprinkled, I've been washed in the blood, and that's the testimony that I have been cleansed of my sin. Amen. The man didn't do what Jesus said in verse 45. He couldn't keep it to himself. He went out and began to tell everybody, you know me. Amen. You used to know me. You knew what that leprosy did to me. Jesus cleansed me. And the Bible said the message went out everywhere. Not only was the message Jesus touched a leper, but the message was Jesus touched a leper and healed him. And he's whole. And he's well. Hallelujah. Why didn't Jesus want him to tell? Well, it tells us in the verse, because since the man told, Jesus could no more openly enter the city. Amen. The the crowd was out of control. Amen. Jesus had to find another place to minister. Be that as it may. Amen. The message got out. Jesus has touched the untouchable, and the untouchable is free, is whole, is healed, is delivered, and it's still happening today. Hallelujah. Music, would you come, those that are going to be singing in communion. I've often asked the question, how long had it been since that leper had a human touch? Have you ever thought that? How long? You may be one of these that don't feel like you need human touch. In our young married class, we talk about love languages, and some people need that affectionate touch, whether it's a pat on the shoulder, hug, whatever. But I'm telling you what, even if you're that kind of person, don't think you need it. If you were without the human touch for week after week, month after month, there'd be something in you that would be craving the human touch. I'll give you examples, I won't. I just want you to wonder with me, how long was it, Brother Ryan, since that leper had the human, and to think that the first human touch he had, human God touch after all that time, was the touch of the Master. How many knows the touch of the Master? I'm not really a huggy-huggy type of person. But Brother Mark, I've been there in such desperate need in an altar praying that I was praying, oh God, just let somebody come by and put a hand on my shoulder and pray with me. Have you ever been there? Desperate needs. God, just somehow, just laid on somebody's heart to come and put their hand on me and to pray with me. Don't you think there's other folks like that even in the house of God? Maybe you're not the one that is crying out for the touch. Maybe you're the one that can offer the touch. But beyond human hands, I wonder, is there anyone here this morning, down deep, you'd admit it, you're longing for the touch of His hand? I've got news for you. The leprosy may be bad, but He's moved with compassion. And Jesus touches the leper. Jesus touches the untouchable. Father, thank you for your word during this communion service. Lord, make your word real all over again. And Lord, if there's one here that is fed up with the leprosy of their soul, I pray that you'd lay your hand upon them and touch them in Jesus' name. Amen. Servers, would you come for the communion this morning? If you're not accustomed to communion, we invite everyone to partake of communion with us. We just ask that you hold the elements to everybody has been served. And I also want to say that if you're here and you don't know Christ, after we've had communion, these altars would be open. Come to these stairs we use as an altar, and folks will be here to pray with you because Jesus wants to touch you. Nobody can touch you like Jesus can. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's meditate in our hearts as we serve the elements and let His presence be known through our partaking of the elements by faith this morning.
Was ready. does rejoice since I've made him my choice. In the tempest, to him I now flee. There to lean on his arms, safe, secure from all harm. When he reached down his hand for me, when the Savior, he reached down.
Amen. Could you stand across the building? Two things that are to happen amongst others when we partake of communion. Number one is the awareness of the abiding presence of Jesus. This says to us, church, today, that Jesus' presence is with us. And number two, it's your reminders of the connection we have one to another. We are sharing the table of our Lord together. We are the family of God. Amen. We're going to pray over the bread. Brother Gary Lee, would you ask the blessing on the bread this morning? Let's partake of the bread together. His body without sin broken for us. Hallelujah. Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. Amen. Brother Aaron, would you ask the Lord's blessing on the cup this morning? Together, can we partake of the cup? Hallelujah. Let's give thanks. Hallelujah. Thank you for the cleansing. Thank you, Lord, that we can hear this morning. Let's praise Him together, that we can hear you're clean, you're washed, you're made whole. The leprosy of sin is gone. Hallelujah. Oh, Lord, we praise you. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we honor you. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Many times we do. Let's just sing a little bit of this before we leave, and let's continue to praise Him. Amazing grace. Imagine that you were that leper that had been touched. Could you sing Amazing Grace one more time, thinking of being the leper? Amazing grace, oh how sweet the sound that saved, oh a wretch I was blind, oh, but now, oh, hallelujah. Let's thank Him one more time, hallelujah. Jesus touches the untouchable, hallelujah. He'll touch the untouchable area of your heart right now, that part of you that needs so much the help of the Lord. Oh, hallelujah. He can cleanse of anger. He can cleanse of bitterness. He can cleanse of discouragement and disappointment. Hallelujah. 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 We always greet one another at the close of a Lord's Supper. Would you shake one another's hands and look at them and say, you're no leper. Hallelujah. We'll just greet your brothers and sisters this morning.